Hello, kapla, and welcome everyone to our fan cast. We're a Star Wars boy, a Star Trek girl, and a sci-fi wingnut talk about the new Star Trek series, Strange New Worlds. We are super excited to geek out, talk about the new show, so let's bring in the intro music and get going. What is up, fans of Strange New Worlds? It is Captain Bubbles with us.
I'm here today. Thank you.
She is here today.
I'm here.
Unless... Are you going to break into song for us?
You can't even mute it quick enough. No, that'd be a hard pass. No. I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would, but there's parts of it that I had to mute.
Well, we have some email. People have talked with us or sent us. One from last time for Under the Cloak of War, which you were not here for. Stargate Pioneer SP writes, permission to give feedback, Captain Bubbles.
Hi.
All right. So, who knew Clint Howard was ever going to have 5 guest appearances on Star Trek spanning 7 decades with each being a different character? Or that he would have a total of 255 acting credits. What an amazing actor or acting history and strange career to have witnessed. Perhaps he is the alien was adopted by the Howards. I have no idea who he's talking about or why.
I don't know either. Who is he talking about? Jake, it's all up to you now.
I think he's talking about the guy who played the Klingon.
Oh, hold on.
Well, you didn't see him long enough to tell who he is.
Clint Howard.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, actually, okay.
I know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is now.
He has to play the Klingon because we didn't see his face on regular people on the Enterprise.
Yeah, actually, I think where I'm drawing a blank is what other characters over Star Trek history has he played?
I don't know, but didn't he play Booger on Porky's?
I believe so.
Come on, I just aged myself.
He played on Waterboy. He was in The Wraith. God, that's the one I know him from, The Wraith!
The what?
Oh, no. Now I'm going to... We're talking about Ron Howard's brother, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
So
That's Ron Howard's brother?
Yeah.
So no, he wasn't the Klingon.
No.
But was he the guy on Porky's?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't believe he was in
Porky's.
Oh,
you're right.
You're
right. That's a different guy.
Yeah, he was on DS9. He was on... The one I remember him from is The Wraith. He was also on Apollo 13...
Some dorky guy you've got sitting in the corner.
I did not know that's Ron Howard's brother.
Oh my God, Gung Ho. I forgot about that movie. We need to watch that for 80s cheesy movie. He was in Gung Ho with Michael Keaton in 1986. I love that movie. Caleb's gonna
I will
hate
add it.
It
to the list.
Yeah, Caleb's going to hate it.
exactly while I'll add it to the list.
But
so he had to have been the Klingon.
Oh crap, he was in Far and Away.
No. The guy who played
yes,
the Klingon
was
an African-American gentleman. He wasn't the Klingon.
Oh, okay. So Far and Away, he played the guy that was taking the money for the boxing.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. I bet you, now that I'm thinking about it, and I'm not picturing this correctly, I bet you he played the head doctor on the battlefield.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, so Starpie is more on top of things than we are with. Like,
yeah,
Starpie always does
he
that,
likes
though.
To show
well,
off.
I was going to say, are you surprised that Starpie would be on
no,
top of things more
likes,
than any of the three of us?
He likes to show off. It's good. It's fine. It's fine.
Ah, now he gets the vaunted show off title. It's been mine for 20 years. All right. So let the Flat Earthers conspiracies start again. On the tale of those old scientists, Under the Cloak of War was a difficult episode to swallow overall. It almost didn't fit the tone of the show. I thought it fit the tone of the show very well.
So
I
far, it's my favorite episode so far.
It was really good. Those old scientists is probably my favorite.
My favorite episode was now.
We'll get to that in a second. But I thought it fit the theme
okay.
very, very well.
TOS was a great one. I liked it.
That's my favorite of the series.
But I liked... What was the title of it?
Under the Cloak of War.
I really like that. I like the backstory. I don't know. I just like more and more stories about Mbenga. Mbenga?
Mbenga, yeah. He's getting really cool.
I like him.
I don't sing.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so here with you. I'm so here. So I liked the whole Chapel Mbenga
episode. I thought it was beautifully told. I thought it explained a lot about their characters and why they're so tight.
I also like it because, you know, I guess not a lot of people identify with it because Star Trek, it does have a tone. But you know what? You have soldiers that's also in Star Trek because not every ship out there is an explore ship.
All I'm saying is it fit the tone of Star Trek more than the episode that I just watched today. So,
it depends on which Star Trek you're talking about. It didn't fit the tone of the original season, but then again, the original season, because at that point in time, you know, the Federation hadn't been to war in a while. You know, at TNG, you know, you had kind of the Cardassian skirmish off to the side originally that,
right,
you know, Miles O'Brien had been part of and a couple of people here and there. But once again, you didn't have war until you hit the Dominion War. And then once again, the tone of the whole thing changed again. So really, this is it is a different tone, but it's an adequate one because you're talking about a Federation and Klingon Empire who were just very recently at war.
Right.
So so does it fit the tone that you've gotten in every season here? No. But does it fit here? Yes.
Like I was saying, not every ship out there is an Enterprise. The Enterprise is an Explorer class ship, right? But not every ship out there. So there's other people that have joined Starfleet that have been soldiers. So it's not... Well,
in this universe, the Defiant is one of very, very few starships. And at that point in time, the only reason why any of those were built were because of the Borg that was actually built as a warship. All of them were built as Explorer ships.
Enterprise is just a flagship. You know, it's, but I would say that a PTSD flashback episode is rare amongst some of the Star Trek, especially the way that they were talking about here. They were showing actual PTSD and symptoms and that these people,
I think they
like,
did it really well.
Like the war was not always there for them. It wasn't done for them.
That I'll agree with you, because the closest thing to a PTSD episode that we've gotten before this was Picard going to visit his brother after being assimilated.
Right, and he's just messed up. But, Starfire writes, was this the episode that, or SP writes, was this the episode that we really needed to have? I think so. I think before Subspace Rhapsody, which we'll get to here in just a minute, we got two other emails about this, but... before that, I would say the run-up to Under the Cloak of War, like those three or four episodes were stellar. Absolutely excellent. And Under the Cloak of War was probably one of, if not the best episodes of Strange New Worlds, period. So, I mean, it's really, really good. SP continues on and says, I would have had much preferred another Gorn episode, or rather... than a war flashback episode to explore a lying Klingon. It was slow. It didn't really expand the universe much. Kept several characters in short minor roles. Did little to solve the Spock-Chapel tension. And we didn't even have communication from high-ranking Starfleet Admiral telling Pike why he had to transport the ambassador to begin with. I feel robbed. Anyway, I look forward to you guys discussing and telling me how I'm wrong about all this. Apparently I could use the perspective... excuse me now while I watch Those Old Scientists again to purge this episode from my memory pattern buffers. Take care and thanks for recording. Publishing the Fancast Force.
Okay, well, to unbox that for a second, I like the episode. I like that you have the
talking
episode...
about Under the Cloak of War.
Yeah. I like how we had the backstory of how Chapel and Mbenga met. I like that you have that special bond between the two because she totally covered his ass at the end. Right? She lied for him at the end. And even Pike knew he was lying, but he let it go. Because even though you have this utopia kind of belief that we should all get along in the future, that's not realistic. And even here,
that's not how
the captain was expecting everyone to let bygones be got bygones, but he did not fight in that war like they did.
Well, yeah, and Jake and I talked, or, well, I shouldn't say talk. Jake and I argued about this a little bit last week, Because it's like Pike believes in the best in people, and he believes that everybody should have a second chance. But that's what makes Pike special.
And it's good to have that balance, and it's good to have the people together like that.
You want that guy as your captain.
Right.
But what you may not want is, like, or what you can't have is everybody feeling
you
like
you can't
that.
Have somebody pushing kumbaya on you every time you're on the ship, because it doesn't work that way.
Well, and I think that's why Pike, even though he knows that the story is I think the reason he went with it is because he realizes that this whole thing is his fault.
And I like how Una had to tell him, we got to get this guy off the ship because he's causing damage.
Well, she tried. She tried to tell him. She tried to be like, look, man,
this is a bad idea.
Fix it. But I still think that the overall tone of Under the Cloak of War was excellent. I really do. I thought it was just well thought out and a beautiful episode. And then you roll into
this
Subspace Rhapsody.
This actually kind of goes into both of this, which is, I think what Starpie's feeling is, rather than having a show like Picard that had a season-wide arc, that was basically one long movie, or even like you've gotten most of the time out of Disco, they're trying to do an episodic show similar to what you got out of TOS and TNG. The problem is that you still don't have a season long enough for it. So what you're getting is something that you're sitting there going, I really wanted a story to move along because I only get 10 episodes.
It's a little stilted.
Exactly. Is it an excellent episode? Yes. Does it fit? I think it does. With that said, I get what he's saying. I want something more. Either move the story along or give me more episodes, one or the other.
And for me, everyone's probably going to disagree with me. This has not been my favorite season. To me, it's slow. We're got one episode left, right? I could count probably maybe two, maybe three episodes that I've really enjoyed out of this season.
Well, I've enjoyed half of
them. Well, I know you have, but for me, as opposed to the first season, I liked all but one.
The first season was
stellar.
Was pretty damn gold.
So
I mean, it really was.
Here you've got one episode left, and we haven't even, like, at the beginning of this series, beginning of the season, they were all implying that the Gorn would come in, right? We don't even have enough episodes left for a cliffhanger.
No, you could literally do a cliffhanger.
Well, okay, but what I'm saying is that normally they have a lead up, and then you don't discover what's going on, and then you have one more episode, and then you bang.
But that's with a 22 show season, and you can't do that.
So I miss it, but I haven't really been feeling this season.
And I'm going to throw it into the fact that any one of these episodes would have been awesome in a 22 episode season.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked half this season. Really, really liked it.
I agree with you. I think all of these episodes, with the exception of tonight, were absolutely amazing. The problem is that we're not getting enough of them.
I would argue that that's probably true. But still, we come to...
On to this one.
We come to Subspace Rhapsody. We have two emails about that. One from D. And D writes, hey, crew, love the podcast, just discovered it, and you're really getting me through the classroom setup process. I'm a little bummed to hear the anticipatory disdain for the upcoming musical episode. Have you considered inviting a guest who isn't predisposed to hate it? Looking forward to listening to y'all break down the rest of the season.
No, we're not going to invite anybody. we'll just have our crew tell us on Twitter. To be fair, I didn't absolutely hate it. I didn't cringe like I thought I was going to have to, because I'm thinking like the whole, I remember the Xena musicals, and it was bad.
I liked the Xena musicals.
It was so bad.
Yeah, they were corny, but they were supposed to be corny.
I know it.
And I got to see Renee O'Connor bouncing in Hudson Light.
I've seen her bounce in person, and Hudson Light. I liked a lot of the songs. I did, truly. Every one of them has this... a great singing voice, and I did not expect all of them to have that.
Oh, no, that was not, I promise you, and even if they swear that it was, I promise you, there was some Milli Vanilli worthwhile lip-syncing game going on in there. So
whatever, it sounded okay, right? My favorite part was when they changed the opening. You had that whole
cat musical.
Yeah, but it reminded me of Pitch Perfect. Like when they did that bum 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 at the beginning of Pitch Perfect. Mm-hmm. That's all I could hear. I'm like, I was laughing. Okay, that to me was funny. I liked the Una and Kirk song that they did. I had the whole, anybody who knows me, I don't mind musicals. I love Mary Poppins. I just dated myself, but that's okay. Mary Poppins was one of my all-time
original
favorite.
Or Emily Blunt?
Well, I like both because I like Emily. But original, okay? The original Mary Poppins.
Julie Andrews. Yeah.
Julie Andrews. I love it. I know everything word for word, line for line.
I like the penguins.
I know this. Anyways, you distract me.
Shannon's got his Mary Poppins mug around here somewhere.
I got lots of Mary Poppins things.
So
the whole song that they sang together had very much a penguin vibe to it. I was looking for it.
It was very Rodgers and Hammerstein.
But I loved Chappell's song in Ten Forward.
Well, if you look online, the director of this episode, and I cannot, his name escapes, is Stargate Pioneer, no, SP, no, but the director was saying that this was an episode that Christina Chung pushed for because she's
a real singer. Yeah,
she's a real singer and is releasing some stuff on Spotify or something like that. And she really was pushing for this one. And
Anson Mount finally finds her emotion through song.
Right, and Anson Mount not so much.
I can only imagine the cringe. Like, we're gonna do what next episode?
Oh, I don't want to do that. Yeah. Have you seen my swoopy hair? It's like way better not singing. Starpie writes for our third and final email. Welcome back to 2009 Paramount. Glee only lasted until 2015. Was this sectionals or regionals? I always got confused on which one was better. Maybe next time we can get Pitch Perfect and Anna Kendrick instead. Here's hoping for a better season 2 finale and season 3.
Oh, look, it's like we're in sync. I just said Pitch Perfect. That's what it reminds me of.
I know.
I liked it. I liked the whole Pitch Perfect bump bump. I liked it because that to me, that's the funniest thing of the opening of that movie.
I
don't mind it. I don't want to see another one. And I think we wasted what could have been a great episode on a musical. There I go. That's what I said. I'll stick by it.
I don't mind musicals. In fact, I like watching musicals very much.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
A musical.
Love
Pitch Perfect.
Musical.
There's all kinds of
1776. That made you watch? Musical.
I love 1776.
I love it. Musical.
It's got Gwyneth Paltrow's mom.
Is she really?
Yeah.
People are probably like, what the hell are they talking about?
No, she is like Thomas Jefferson's wife, and I cannot remember her name. Blythe Danner. Is Gwyneth Paltrow's mom, and she can actually sing, unlike Gwyneth Paltrow. So
people are like, "You're watching what?" Yeah, yes, it's a musical.
Yeah, it's a musical. I love musicals.
I don't mind musicals. I just think it was a waste to put it in Star Trek.
Here's my problem.
They could have had some Gorn eating somebody or something.
It's not that we had a musical. It's not that we had a Star Trek musical. It's that we have a Star Trek musical. It is one of 10. I agree with you guys that if it was one of 15 or one of 20 or
then
25
okay.
or something, then you know what? Yeah, throw it out there. You know, like this musical would have worked perfectly in Lower Decks.
This yes. musical could have worked great in TNG and have the dancing doctor on episode 14.
It would have worked perfectly in Lower Decks. Okay. I would have celebrated it and lauded it as much as I could have. I would have been a serious advocate for it there. This one, I get 10 episodes of this a season, and with the writers and all, you know, Hollywood strike type stuff going on right now, we're not going to get season 3 anytime soon.
Right.
Anytime
soon. So again, I feel like I don't mind it. It did better than I thought it would do. I don't want another one. I felt like it was a wasted episode.
It literally might be 2 years. Like, Paramount Plus might be gone by
the
time.
Yeah.
We get season 3 of Strange New Worlds. Like, because everything's, you know, like.
I didn't do it this time, I'm just saying.
Disney's losing billions, and Paramount Plus is like number 4. And,
you get what I'm saying, though, right? I didn't do it.
I know. You were here at the beginning.
I didn't kill it. Like you say, I kill everything. I didn't kill it.
You do kill sci-fi shows.
I didn't kill it.
You are the mark of the.
Shut
of
up.
The
I did
death.
Not. I didn't kill Defiance.
You did kill
Defiance. I didn't kill Warehouse 13. I did not.
You did not kill Warehouse 13. You bitched about it.
I'm still bitching
endlessly.
About it. But now I got a podcast.
And now she's got to save Warehouse 13 podcast to bitch about it.
Which, okay. If you guys are interested,
just
search
a little happy dance.
Just a little,
Which is
aside.
Another musical they did, a Claudette tap dancing.
Just so you guys can go look at it, Artie's Attic.
That's a shameless plug right there, but I'm dancing.
It
anyways.
Is a shameless plug. I shameless plug all kinds of stuff. I shameless plugged
it sounds
kind of
funny,
review the
but
other
okay.
Day. No, I'm not shamelessly plugged. I have a shameless plug. There's a difference, madam.
Still sounds smutty altogether, but okay.
The semantics matter, ma'am.
working on that bald spot there?
Yeah.
The oh, Jake, that brings... No, I don't need the image. Okay.
Okay. I kept my mouth shut for a while because my my opinions on this one and my reaction to this one this episode is complicated. I texted Sean about halfway through that this episode was going to make me throw up, and it wasn't a joke.
And I texted him back, no joke, dude. Klingon boy band.
That was horrible.
It was right up. It was right about the time that Anson Mount was singing to his girlfriend on the screen and feeling uncomfortable about it. I unfortunately have a reaction to movies and TV shows like that. Like, for example, I have a difficult time watching Ben Stiller movies because that level of anxiety and tension gets to me. And I was having a full-on anxiety attack with everybody being that uncomfortable through the entire first half of the show. Now, I will have to say that they did manage to pick up the heartfelt music and comedy through the second half of the show. But the first half of the show really honestly did make me want to throw up. However, I also have to give them some props on a few things. If you couldn't tell, those of you who are in the musical theater, they basically ran through every genre and type of musical theater you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
With the different songs in here, you had everything from
Big Band
to HMS Pinafore. I cannot remember who wrote that one. Rodgers and Hammerstein, somebody like that. But you went through just about every type of live musical that you're going to find in different songs there. I mean, you had things that would have gone well in High School Musical. You had things that songs that would have gone well in one of the like American Idiot style Green Day things. All of it was wonderful.
Just out of curiosity, did your wife see this?
No. She came in at the last few moments of it, and all of a sudden she looks at me and went, Star Trek is a musical?
It is this week.
Two things I just thought of.
But they did, and I have to admit that the whole thing of having her bring the entire ship into song at the end was rather creative. I kind of enjoyed that was the end result of the whole thing. And I do have to say that if I need more Klingon boy band. I need.
Oh my God,
more
Jay! Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't like. I liked the episode until we got to the end when they all did it together. Then you lost me.
What I was waiting for was for her when they said the Klingons were having the problem too, that she was going to turn on the overhead and you were going to find out that it all broke into Klingon opera. The fact that they broke into Klingon boy band rapping was
We will destroy you for our shame.
Two things I just thought of.
That's Klingon shame. When they get all angsty and stuff, they don't do Klingon opera. They do Klingon boy band. That's emo Klingon.
That was
boy band, like
horrible.
K-pop is
horrible.
It's
disgusting.
It's Klingon
no.
emo.
Okay, just stop. Okay, but you know what? Speaking of the different genres, right? I just thought of something, and I liked it when it first started doing it. So like when the first song played in the engineering, it reminded me of WALL-E. Exactly. It reminded me of WALL-E because I like 40s tunes, right? That's what that was.
Well, but there were songs that were worthy of Disney in there.
I know
as
that,
well.
But what I'm saying, that's what reminded me of that. So I had two. And I can't remember what the second one was.
Struck victim.
Struck victim. I can't remember.
Got it out before you did.
I know it, but I can't remember what the second one I was going to tell you. But I like the beginning, the first song reminded me of WALL-E.
I am a big fan of Ethan Peck's singing voice. He has a very light, kind of pleasant voice.
I will give you that. I'm 90% sure that was not in Banga's voice.
Notice
he told you he didn't sing.
Notice you didn't hear him much, so he only had one or two times he had to do it.
I don't know.
But as I said, I'm 90% sure that that was a voiceover somewhere along the
line.
Well,
they were lip syncing for sure, because you can't dance and sing like that with. But I think they're saying that it was actually them singing.
Wait a minute. Go back and watch the movie version of Les Mis. It can be done.
Yeah, but those are professional theater singers.
Yeah, but I'm not going to.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty tough to do. It's like that time when they asked Freddie Mercury to do ballet and everything, and Freddie Mercury can move with music, but he actually can't dance, so they just had to pick him up and carry him around theatrically a lot. Like, that's what was happening here. These people are trained actors. They're also, they have dance credits, and they can sing and do some things. They are performers, but straight up Broadway? I don't know if
not
all
to
of
mention
them can
the
do
whole
that.
ADA that they would have to do afterwards. That's a lot. That's a lot of going back in and do ADA.
Now, nothing with regards to the singing and dancing. I do have to say that bringing in Carol Marcus and Carol Marcus being pregnant was a really good callback.
That was. Wait, I wondered how they were.
You were right. You were right, Jake, because you were saying. Never mind. I've lost it again.
Well, he was
we were saying that he's probably with Carol Marcus at the moment with regards to timing and Lon.
And that's how they were going to break up Spock and.
That's where I was going. Chapel.
Chapel was. And Jake called this weeks
that's
ago.
That's what I was trying to say. You called it. And then I had
like she's going to do it, and he's going to go screw this emotion crap because it hurts.
Yep.
And
now the timing of it isn't probably going to happen the way I thought it was, but yeah. Now,
that's
see,
where it's
there's
going.
Also is, but there is also one last episode left. I mean, one of them can say screw it and for love save the other one's life still.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
Well, even in Kirk's Enterprise, when Spock is on his deathbed and everything, Chapel, you know, is like brushing his face and worried about him in TOS. So we know that she still has feelings for him, but he purges all of that for her.
Speaking of feelings.
I'm 90% sure that the reason we go from Spock, who is exploring emotions, to Spock that we know on TOS and in the movies is her.
I think my favorite part of this episode is going back to the TOS original people, like his last episode or one before you saw them all sitting around the table. I like how Uhura and Spock are becoming closer in this episode. She actually has feelings. She cares that he's upset. She cares that he's depressed. You're starting to see the formation of what's going to be Kirk's Enterprise.
You're also seeing her start to develop her level of, if we'll say it, chutzpah.
What?
It's a Yiddish term. Sorry. Okay. Her cojones, her ability to stand up for herself and all that, because
balls.
You know,
you're saying you're trying to say balls. That's what you're...
Yes. Because
we have to bleep balls
Michelle,
out.
She's a Texas
time,
girl.
Just say balls, Jake.
He did.
I am a Jewish guy. I can use Yiddish if I want.
He's an East Coast Jewish guy. It applies.
Say balls.
Schmuck is actually Jewish, too.
I know. That's why
Yiddish
I said it.
Too,
I know.
And for Schnickerd and all the other words that I use. I love Yiddish.
She finally is getting a backbone. She's dropping her balls, and now she's going to say it. Yes, I got it. Sorry, Texas girl.
Yes. Basically, that's exactly where I was going. She's working her way from the Starfleet Academy student that we had last season to turning into Nichelle Nichols.
She's getting more away from the unsure ensign to be more sure of stuff, because like she was singing about, she's always solving people's problems, and she does a lot of it so far.
I don't.
Well, she's also starting to find her place.
Yeah,
and her friends.
I don't know that I needed a lot of Spock and Uhura interaction until I saw it and went, that's actually pretty nice. That's pretty cool. Like, they do have a relationship.
Yeah.
That is tempered over time, right? Like, they have all these things. I also like when you're sitting there and Spock's giving the briefing and Kirk's like, hey, that was a great job, Spock. I almost understood that one. You get to understand the interplay between Spock and Kirk.
The back and forth.
Right, the back and forth between Spock and Kirk. And I'm like, okay. You know what they could do? And Shannon won't like this. You know what they could do is in the cliffhanger, you could have the Enterprise, you know, because they if they wanted to, they could have set you up for this. Now, walk with me here. This is a huge...
I hate when you say walk with me. That means I'm really not going to like it now.
Yeah, I know. I know you're not. And I'll tell you exactly the turning point where it's going to happen for you. But walk with me. They gave you a heads up. They said that, hey, I can't stay. We can't plan our vacation. I have a priority mission.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of my girl.
They could kill off most of the Farragut or blow up the Farragut and transfer James or Jim to the Enterprise.
Okay. Stop right there.
And stop they right could there. Kill off your girl.
Stop right there. Because as much as they I did set, not like the singing part of this, Melanie, this is one of those fangirl moments that if you're a fangirl, you really like, okay, I'll sit through lots of things
Melanie
if I'm
Scarfano
a fangirl.
Playing the captain.
I'll sit through lots of things if I'm a fangirl, right? I'll sit through things on each show that I watch because I'm there. Because I love them. I liked that Melanie sang. I did. I was like, yay, oh my God, is she going? Yay,
well, we
she
knew
can
she could
to.
Sing.
I know she can. But don't be talking about killing my girl. Because that's just like
I'm just saying they could do it.
I don't think they're going. Well, we know they're going to destroy the Farragut. We saw the blowed up saucer section.
Yep.
When did we see that?
Do I think they're going to kill her off? I doubt it. What they are going to have to address at some point, if this show continues to move forward, is why out of all of these people who are dedicated to Pike, Una, La'an, all of that. That Spock was the only one after he gets injured who shows up to take him back to the planet of the space brain people.
What happens to them?
Well, we don't know. Here's the problem. They invented most of these classes.
Well, Una's not going to be part of it.
I know, but like similar to Clone Wars, where you knew the moment they introduced Ahsoka that you were going to have to explain where she was during the Star Wars movies. You're going to have to explain why Una wasn't the one who came and got him. Now, part of it is probably the fact that Spock actually had stolen the Enterprise before and knew how to do it again.
Maybe she just gets transferred.
It is a maneuver. But,
because you don't actually have an Una and all the others in the TOS, right?
What you're going to need is at some point in time for him to confide in Spock specifically and place that specific burden.
I need it to be on. I need it to be you, not anybody else. Nobody else. I don't want any drag anybody else into this. But Spock, if you will do this, I need it to be you. And Spock grabbed at the time the only other person who would believe him, which is Kirk.
Yeah.
And the two of them effectively saved Pike. Now. We don't even like under the Cloak of War, you have for the first time Spock, Uhura, and
Kirk
sitting together at a table. And Jake and I were talking about this. You don't know when those moments in life happen, when you meet the people who are going to be in your lives for the rest of your days. You know, I was talking about that just the other day with Jake. I'm like, look, there is a picture somewhere that exists of me, Beef, and Jake. Sitting at a small round table, actually Jake and I were sitting there. Beef was turned off the other way, yelling at somebody else. but we were all there, and that's where we met, like 12, 15 years ago. And there was no way we could have possibly known that we'd be doing the things that we do now and knowing each other now. There's also a picture of me standing in a chair next to Sith Witch with a bullhorn. Somewhere, I can't even remember what I was doing.
That explains a lot.
No, I remember exactly what you were doing because you dragged my ass into the whole thing too, which was your Star Wars trivia game with Legos.
Oh, that's right. That
explains a lot. Okay.
Make me a chicken, and I give him like 3 minutes to make me a Lego chicken. Look, I was half lit, and I dragged Jake into everything. As soon as I met Jake, I dragged him into stuff.
Well, that was the time that Sith Witch put all of us to shame with Star Wars trivia.
Oh, man. I used to think I was good at Star Wars trivia until I met Sith Witch.
I thought I was good at Star Wars trivia until someone asked a question like, how many engines are there on this class of Star Destroyer? And she knew the answer.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a whole other level of fan.
God.
I'm not that level of fan.
If I wasn't married, I'd have been, hey, how you doing? It was the sexiest display of nerd trivia I had ever seen. I was like asking people, is she like, well, who is that? Like, did she work on Star? What is going on? Like, I don't know. She's just really, her name is Sith Witch, dude. Like, yeah, okay. That's probably, that should have been a clue. But, yeah, I mean, you never know. Getting back to my point, you never know when those events happen. And I love that, like, they can't show you a lot of that on this show, right? Because the minute Kirk, it's Kirk's Enterprise, and he steps into the captain's chair, show's over, right? So they can give you these small little moments. And well, I think...
Remember, we're still close to a decade away from that happening.
Yeah, you can't have that.
It's,
so
it's not even really a, you know, we're still at Kirk not even honestly taking the first officership of the Farragut, but being an intern under Una to learn how to be a first officer.
So, I mean, there's all these moments, right? And you get to see them, and you get to see... There's an episode in TNG where they have the kind of the... And they did it then, too. Kind of the lower decks kids, and then they give you the command crew, and you know the guys, and one of the lower decks people like winds up dying, and they're faking something, and she, you know, she's Bajoran or Cardassian or something, and she dies.
That was Wesley Crusher's.
I don't think it was.
Weno?
No, I don't think.
No. She knew Wesley Crusher, but no, he was in it. I was going to say posthumously, but that's not quite the right word. In spirit,
off screen,
she was one
yeah.
of. She was one of the four pilots who got the fifth pilot killed at the academy
yeah.
along with him.
And she was Bajoran.
Right. And it was...
And she got dug on by Picard throughout the entire episode until she fights back and she realizes that Picard was doing it to her on purpose.
Just to make sure that, you know...
She could handle herself.
Everything was cool. And then she winds up dying in a photon torpedo, suffocating. Anyway, so... But they mentioned that, like, I bet you Riker sleeps in that uniform. Now, you wouldn't know that, like, young Riker.
Riker.
Yeah, Riker. You wouldn't know that young Riker was just like them and impetuous and crazy.
Impulsive
and all that stuff. But when he became a commander, he's like, look, I have a lot of people depending on me. I have to be a leader. And that takes a lot of that fun out of you. Or
wasn't it even Troy who looked at that one guy and went, looked at Riker and went, he reminds me a lot of you? And Riker went, no.
No.
At Miles Moon, I got promoted.
The annoying one?
From the parts to Stormbringer.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the fun gets sucked out of it.
Yeah, all the fun gets sucked. When you have responsibility, a lot of the fun gets sucked out of your job. And even Q's like, you weren't like this before the beard. You know, like they, it happens. So when you look at Kirk as a captain or Spock as a first officer, or those that isn't who they are yet. And that's one of the things I think they're doing well with Kirk. You can see that spark. You can see the ambition.
But it wasn't Captain
Kirk yet.
We talked about it. It was that couple of episodes ago where he was running around. It was the communication one. I can't remember what the hell the name of this episode was, where he was running around with Uhura the whole time.
Right.
That was the first time that this guy felt like our Captain Kirk. Now, I finally found a way to justify that in my own head so that I didn't have to hate him. Every other time we've seen him play Captain Kirk, it wasn't in this universe.
Also true. I mean, there's a significant gulf between what we're seeing now and Kirk's Enterprise. But every time you look at it, they get a little bit closer. They give you a little more piece. And I love those pieces, right? Why is Spock the way he is? Well, we're going to show you. There was this nurse named Chapel, and she was a hottie. But she was also a hot mess. And you didn't want anything
to
do with
her. Couldn't keep a guy.
Yeah, couldn't get, like, she sabotages.
Didn't have a commitment.
She sabotages her own relationships.
And next thing you know, after he decided she broke up with him, she decided to change her hair to a beehive haircut so she wouldn't turn him on anymore.
That woman could wear her hair any way she wants to, and I would
still. She's got a pretty good singing voice.
I would still find her attractive.
And a little bit, you can hear her accent a little bit when she sings.
You know, I had trouble with some of this episode, I'll be honest. The Klingon boy band thing was
disastrous.
That was
it was so bad. I enjoyed it.
The worst part about it is that all of them wearing their gold Klingon, bling was perfect.
You look more like BTS and doing cosplay than they did Klingon warriors. I do like the fact that they were ashamed of it, you know, like their emo stage where they're all boy bandy and they're like, "Our shame, you shall die for our shame."
It's a good day to die after singing. Yes.
Spock staggering back onto the deck.
Can you imagine Worf singing?
Actually, yes.
Yeah,
because I think Michael Dorn was a baritone singer.
He can't do that. Yes, Spock coming back.
I am not a merry man.
I am not a merry man. Worf had some of the best lines in How are you doing, Worf? Not well.
He has some
sir.
Of the best lines of Picard.
Oh yeah. If you were any other man, I would kill you where you stand. It's like that's a great line,
but not today. Too much fresh work.
The best line for Worf ever, because it basically explained his entire character arc was, yeah, but the sword's fun.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the best quote.
Beheadings are on Wednesday.
My favorite quote from any Star Trek is still Gowron, right? One day the Deros Empire, or a clan will rule the Empire.
But not Gowron, today.
Perhaps. And then he did the crazy eyes, but not today. You know, that is so my favorite quote. I love that, but not today. I use that all the time, you know. But there's something about Klingon boy bands that made me happy. It was so cringy, I loved it.
I did not.
I knew you wouldn't. I was texting
It was
Shannon.
Cringy enough that I'm like, no, I'm just going to...
The cringiness of them feeling cringy for the first half of the episode, I literally almost puked.
I was having some anxiety.
So do we think we're going to get some gore in the last episode?
Yes.
Since they brought up the gore in the first half episode of the season.
You never stop and watch the preview for the next episode, do you?
I never do.
Okay. Yes. They're going to have to go
Jake,
and rescue...
I hardly had time to watch this episode.
Yeah, they're going to have to go rescue the Farragut after the Farragut gets blown up by Gorn.
So that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My girl going to die next episode?
I think they're going to kill her.
Dang it! Don't!
That's just me.
You're so mean. Look, Melanie, I love you. Please stay on Star Trek. So I can have a little bit of my crossover from Wynonna Earp. Don't die.
You're doing a whole Warehouse 13 podcast.
What part of that is Wynonna Earp?
Yeah, but that's... okay, if you had to pick one and only one.
To what, love?
No, to love. Which would it be?
Warehouse 13.
Yeah, exactly. Wynonna doesn't stand a chance against Warehouse 13.
No, okay, to be fair.
You don't like Xena as much as Warehouse
13. Nothing is as high as Warehouse 13.
And if
for
Hudson
me.
Leck in okay, a but if she, leather but if, bra doesn't do it for you, I don't know what does.
Okay. Well, it does lots of things for me. It did lots of things.
I have one thing to throw in there for her, just out of curiosity, considering the show and who was in it, a couple of her favorite actresses, Spartacus.
That was the not most expensive autograph I ever paid for.
Not only was it some of her favorite actresses, but it was some of her favorite actresses not wearing anything.
Believe me, Jake, I'm aware of this episode.
You can watch Shannon become like super obsessed with somebody because she will watch the scene they're in over and over and over and over again. One long time ago, it was Catherine Bell.
Over Jag.
Yeah, in Jag. And then,
I have a type.
But Catherine Bell never had a Spartacus-worthy scene.
No. But when
damn,
she saw,
I wish she would have.
When she saw Spartacus... all the sex going on, she just lasered in on Jamie Murray.
What is Jamie Murray?
And she's like, who is that? Oh, my
but
God.
But you know what's funny?
What's
funny is I didn't know who it was because I saw Spartacus. I saw her in Spartacus before I realized she plays HG in Warehouse 13.
Yeah, but there's Lucy Lawless there for you, too. I mean...
Jake, I saw her. Believe me, I am not ignoring Lucy Lawless. And honestly, I think Lucy Lawless's body's better because I can't do the skinny ones. Just Jamie's way too skinny.
Yeah,
and she got even skinnier for Defiance as Tama.
Yeah, she's
unhealthy.
She's like a one wubba lubba girl.
She a one what?
Wubba lubba.
What the hell is
if
that?
If you bend her over and smack her ass, and it's in the wubba lubbas, she's a one wubba lubba girl.
I just got the...
So you got to get at least two wubba lubbas before I'm interested.
That's horrible. But I can see it in my head.
But you know what I'm saying. Okay.
I just learned a new word. Wubba lubba.
What's a wubba lubba?
Okay.
See. That's why you like Una so much.
I love Una.
We're learning things today. Una, at least a two wubba lubba girl.
I bet you she has a three in there.
Maybe.
I bet you I could get a three out of it.
Oh, if you took a running start at it, yeah.
You can, like a brick wall.
I don't know.
Okay, Jake, to be fair, to go back to it, believe me, I'm aware of Lucy Lawless. She looked better in Spartacus than Jamie did to me.
She won't let this go.
No, you started it now. It's your fault. It's
We're going to get 10 minutes of this. You know
it's
that,
your
right?
fault. Like, you started this fan going down this path.
Hey,
it's your fault.
As Beef has figured out already, it's always my fault.
I think Lucy Lawless's body looked way better than Jamie. In Spartacus. Because
not
she's...
in Hustle, though.
No, we ain't there yet. Hang on.
Okay, I was going to say.
We're talking about Spartacus. Her body, she's just too skinny. She's beautiful, but she's skinny.
She is thin.
So if you're looking at whose body looks the best, it's definitely Lucy. Now.
During Xena years, right?
During
Xena years. Not Battlestar? Okay.
Well, she's pretty there, too.
Pretty, but not
But
Xena.
She's pretty during Spartacus.
She's not wearing leather armor and a big dick on her bra.
No, she's not wearing anything.
She's not wearing anything. I think that'd be better, right? Yeah, whatever. Okay.
I have a lot of fetishes.
Jamie looked amazing in Hustle, but not a lot of people know of it.
No,
and I adored her in Hustle.
Hustle was great. That is probably my favorite that she has ever looked because she had a little bit more.
She was, I think, she was 23 when she started.
Yeah,
that.
She was a little younger, and
she had little baby cheeks on her.
Yeah, she had a little baby fat on her, and I actually kind of prefer that. That was two wubba lubbas right there.
Okay, that is beautiful. The skinniness that you become to become a Stama was not beautiful. It just wasn't to me.
It was very well. She was on national TV, and she didn't want to look fat. So
I get that, but I can count all of her ribs on national TV. So no.
Yeah, that was great.
You get to Warehouse 13. I think Jamie's pretty. But it's Micah that I want.
I understand that. Like, I want Micah in that pleather outfit she wore.
You get to Wynonna Earp.
She wore leather pants.
It's Sheriff Hot that I want.
Now, see, I'd have picked Waverly, but not the actress who played her.
No, the actress that plays her is kind of...
A wingnut.
What's the word we just used?
No, she is definitely not. She is zero wubba lubbas. That girl has no body fat.
If we're talking wubba lubbas, I'm going to throw another one in there for you.
Okay.
Haley Atwell.
Oh, my goodness.
That's at least three or four wubba lubbas right there.
I'm going to have to take that over, Jamie.
That girl might have a wubba lubba cosign come back on you. And just it's like, oof.
When I met her at a Comic-Con, and that one that I have where she signed right over her breast on the picture, I'm like, thank you.
Yeah. I love you.
I even remember my name on that one. So, yes, I am a fangirl.
No. I got one last one for you.
Hit me, Jake.
Because I know, and this one's one of my favorites because I loved the TV show she was in. Sarah Sahai.
Yes, definitely. Sahai? How do you say her last name?
Sahai.
Okay. I can't pronounce it. Now, I know who you're talking about, and she's very pretty.
Yeah, I know we watched her in different shows. She did that
Point
one
of Interest. She was on the L Word.
Point of Interest was an excellent show.
Excellent show. You don't make shows like that
had
anymore.
Had nothing to do with Star Trek, but it was an excellent show.
There's a lot of things that don't have anything to do with Star Trek. We always go in those tantrums, and everyone just seems to be okay with it.
Yes.
Tangents. Tantrum is throwing a fit.
And they replaced Rebecca Ferguson with Haley Atwell in the Mission Impossible movies.
You know what? That's the only reason I want to go see it.
It's worth it. I didn't want to like it. I really, really, really didn't want to like it, and I did.
Speaking of Wingnut, I don't like Tom Cruise at all. But I bet the movie's good.
I like his characters. He's acting
And
fine,
I'm happy that Haley Atwell's getting an actual movie to be in. I mean, what else has she done since Marvel?
Look.
Very little.
I would honestly say that they cut Agent Carter way too soon because I really enjoyed that show.
I loved it. But so apparently we've learned today that Shannon has a type. Like if you didn't already know.
And you learned about Wubba Lubbas.
Wubba Lubbas.
We're doing great.
Wubba Lubbas. Again, it's hot. Not Waverly. Okay, don't get me wrong. Waverly While playing Waverly, it was beautiful. She has a beautiful face. But I always liked Sheriff Hot. Anyways.
Again, type. You like him 6 foot tall and thick hipped.
I also like the guns on the hips, but you know, true. Go figure on Micah, right? But not the actual actress, because that actress is kind of gone.
Who, Waverly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame that they're going to kill Wynonna Earp next week. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. You had to bring it back. I'm just going to have to hit you now. Shut up.
Don't kick me. Touch your mouth.
Touching you.
Touch your mouth. Touch your mouth.
Pull your leg hair. Don't be talking about my girl. And don't jinx it.
Oh, there's
damn it.
Yeah, but they're going to kill her. I mean, it would be easy.
No, wait a minute. Does she get the dignity of getting blowed up on her bridge? Or does she have Gornix implanted in her?
Oh, come on, Jake.
So she's violated by a Gorn.
Come on. Couldn't she just go out like Roe? I mean, come on.
Well, it's only sad. Does she get thrusters. The dignity of being blowed up on her bridge?
Yeah. No, I think she heroically saves people, and that's what messes Pike up for a while. I think that'd be great going into season 3. Just like killing her dramatically. Awesome. That's a good point.
Y'all can't see the death stare that I'm shooting at him at the moment.
He has to just barely not be able to save her.
Yeah, exactly. Like she
just out of grasp.
He's like, stop doing this. And she's like, bye, Chris. You know, and
I'm going to save the day without you.
You know, it's like she's heroic and standing on her bridge and everything and takes the hit for Chris because, you know, she's that girl. And then
because she's always taken the hit because she's always been willing to do it. And he's always the one that backs out. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Imagine if he could get there in time for battle and she takes like the torpedo that was meant for the Enterprise in order to save them.
Oh, yeah. Dies in the process. Look, I'm writing next week for you.
You're going to get
I'm here for
pinched
you.
In the legs if you don't stop.
Oh, you've pretty much pulled all the hair out of my leg on that side. Look.
You got something that's growing back. Not enough. I'll take it. Not like mine. You can't have mine.
I was going to say, yeah, hey, go ahead. Come at me, stroke victim.
I did come at you. Who's the one that said when the day I woke up in the hospital? Well, now you got a bigger bald spot than I. Who has hair now? Who has their hair now?
Look, let's not get caught up in who's
mine
said
is
what
growing,
about hair.
But yours hasn't, has it? Yeah, so tell me, Melly's
I can't get into
die.
This conversation considering the fact that I'm the one ending up with the dork tuft on the front of his head.
Dork tuft.
That's what you get for telling me Melanie's going to die.
I like that. I'm going to use that.
Dork tuft?
Dork tuft.
You know, that. You ever seen the guy who's got...
Is that anything like a wobble-wobble?
No.
No, it's the U-shaped bald spot in the front of their head, but they've just got that one tuft of hair right in the forehead. Yeah.
The butt crack.
That's why I keep my head practically shaved, is because if I let it get long, that's what I've got.
Yeah, it's like the butt crack hair.
Butt crack hair? What is wrong with you? It's like butt crack hair. No, it's not. It's the exact opposite of butt crack hair.
Let's face it. None of us are pulling off the Pike wave.
No one could.
I'm sure it takes...
I mean, I've got the 80s wave going on at the moment now.
You do have an 80s
It almost
style.
Looks like I did it on purpose.
You got an 80s bangs thing.
You even got the gray coming in like Vicki Peterson. So, no one knows who Vicki Peterson is, but, you know, look
she's
her up.
The
she's
guitarist
my,
of the Bengals.
She's my awesome... Right there.
Another tall, leggy, redhead / brunette.
She is not redhead at all. She's blondish brown. But still.
Auburn.
Look, even in sixth grade, I knew I liked girls, and that was it. Her poster was there.
No, you like Dee Dee McCall.
I know! Oh, my God. So there's another one. See, now you started it. Dee Dee, I can tell you that Dee Dee McCall was my first love.
Who is that? Stephanie Kramer?
Stephanie Kramer from Hunter. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's one of those moments you look back, you're like,
you were watching Dee Dee McCall right about the same time that Sean was watching Erin Gray?
Yes, exactly. Same time. Yeah. Exactly, no, yes.
Because Erin Gray was my first.
It's funny because you look back, you're like, was that Kaden? Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Absolutely.
Yes, I was.
And you're like, oh, that explains so much of all the Debbie Gibson posters I had on my wall.
I just remember looking at Erin Gray and being like, I want to touch her, and I don't understand why. Because I was like 5 years
old. Now you understand why.
Now I understand why. Like, Erin Gray made a 5-year-old confused. He was so horny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Dee Dee McCall did that to me in the 80s.
I had two, both from movies that I was not supposed to have seen at that age. And that was whoever played Conan's girlfriend in Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, God.
And Rebecca De Mornay from Risky Business.
Oh,
I was never a Rebecca De Mornay
fan. Okay, okay.
Would you quit kicking me?
I could go back even further than that.
Well, once again, I saw those long before I was, you know, old enough to really have seen them, and so it was an impressionable age.
I can go back even further than Hunter. Beastmaster.
Okay. You liked Dar?
No.
I'm like, nobody liked Dar.
We ain't talking about Dar. I'm talking about Tanya Roberts.
Oh, Tanya Roberts?
Tanya yeah. Roberts, whatever.
She does look good.
What do you mean? What part of my sentence did you think I would say you like Dar?
Beastmaster.
I'm talking the movie Dar? Name, dummy. My name is Dar.
Dar.
Rip Torn as the bad guy.
Dar. That's like I do now. Dar. When I'm having a seizure in my arm. Dar.
Sandel Bergman was Valeria in Conan the Barbarian.
Ah, see, I didn't know the actress's name.
Yeah. She was Valeria. Hold on. So, you said Beastmaster.
Yes,
I'm, like,
I'm telling you the
Dar?
Name. That was the name of the movie, dummy.
No, you went. You had this big smile. You're like, Beastmaster.
Okay. But I said, I know someone before Stephanie Kramer, which means he would be a girl, not a Dar.
Who knew? Look, maybe you liked ferrets. I don't know.
When I say Kodak Darnell,
Polo, we're just sitting there like.
When I say Darnell, all I think is the DARs that I had right at the end of each shift.
Dar.
That's your daily activity report. Damn it, that's paperwork. No, not Dar. His girlfriend.
Tanya Roberts.
Yeah.
Everybody liked Tanya Roberts.
Yeah. So what was that? We were 8.
Oh, it was a while back. I'm hoping to make Kayla watch it.
Too.
Oh, sweet. I can make Kayla watch it.
I think she would watch Beastmaster. I think she'd like it.
Yeah. Well,
she'd love the Ferris more than anything.
Every time I think she's really going to hate a movie, she loves it. Every time I think there's a shot she might like it, she despises it with her entire being. I don't know.
I think she'll like the ferrets.
Maybe.
But then don't make her watch He-Man, because that was just
horrible. The Panther, which was actually a tiger painted black.
Oh, my God, and it was so bad.
It was horrible back then. But, you know, when you're a little kid, it doesn't matter. I my parents used to have those black, painted over black, with the red strip of velvet at the end. Those swords go up on the wall like decorations.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, very 70s kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I took those down all the time, and I was, like, playing, you know, play-acting to Beastmaster.
Yeah, you were Dar.
I was Dar, damn it. I was Dar, and I saved the girl every time. Every time. That should have been a clue so much when I was little, but, you know, hey, we learn.
Yeah, you didn't see the signs? I saw the signs.
I should have seen them a long time ago. But, yeah, I didn't have words for it back then.
No, well, you can't put words to things you don't understand.
I have lots of words for Stephanie Kramer back then, but I couldn't pinpoint it now, you know.
No, well, now you can. Now you're just like, she's hot. So it works out fine.
I'm going to be in my bunk watching Hunter.
Watching Hunter.
Come on, that's another show reference.
Everyone knows.
No,
Firefly.
They don't. No, they don't.
Everyone knows Firefly. Anyone listening to this show knows what Firefly
is.
Oh,
absolutely.
Absolutely, you're right.
I mean, like, it's Captain Mal.
Because we can now start talking about Miranda Backrin.
Oh, yes. Okay, we got to get off it, because I got homework I got to do. You know, I keep talking about these girls, Jake. It's your fault. I'm going to be here forever.
No, I was not as much as for Miranda Backrin. I mean, she doesn't really do much for me. Now, Kaylee. Oof. She was... She was a sweetheart.
Miranda Backrin in Firefly, yes. Miranda Backrin in...
V? No.
V? No.
I liked her in
Not
v.
only that in Homeland, no. Miranda Backrin in Deadpool, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to go back into something that Sean said before. I don't want Miranda Backrin. I want that character.
Exactly.
Like I want Micah.
Yeah. Instead of the actress.
Joan Kelly.
Yeah, instead of Joan Kelly. So
I think he's telling us.
The character that's going to have that conversation with you as to who had the more messed up childhood, that's the one I want.
Yeah, I know that there's characters that I like much more than the actor. In fact, most of the time, that is in fact the case.
I was with Waverly.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's like, no. I mean, yes, that is the person who plays that. Like, I love Chapel. Mostly because she's almost unattainable, and I find that interesting. You know, that she's completely visually striking and has a deep voice. But the problem I see is we're gonna have to pick up all the rest of the action and do a cliffhanger and wait 2 years for it. This episode has got to have a lot coming on it on episode 10.
It better start from the ground running. I mean, I don't know.
I think they're reaching for an epic end to this season, though.
Yeah, well, better not be with my girl, Ryan.
I don't get it, but they're going to reach for it.
No, they're totally going to kill Mel.
Shut up.
They're so going to kill Mel. Well, look, it everything's been stacking up to this. They're getting along. We know Chris doesn't end up with
her. They're planning a vacation together.
Exactly. They're giving you stuff, and then they tell you, oh, I have a priority mission.
And then, he's gonna have the guilt trip because he always turns it down. He always lies. You know, I don't want to.
Well, this would be perfect to open up next season.
You should have gone on vacation because you're going to lose her.
That's right. Like, he's like, it would have just taken a week. I didn't make time. You know, and like, he learns this big lesson. You know, this is a big life lesson because he's hanging out with her, and now
I actually do have to agree with Sean. They have foreshadowed the hell out of this.
They really have.
Okay, you two, you got to stop.
They're going to kill her.
Okay, I got to go do homework now. Seriously, I got to go.
That's what you call it.
I actually have homework all week long.
Stephanie Kramer.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I was throat
singing. This is a Star Trek show.
It was Tibetan throat singing. That's what that was. Promise.
Maybe later. I don't know. Maybe put some Katie Sackhoff up there with it. I don't know.
Wubba lovers.
I've learned a new word today, but I got to go.
Okay. So thank you, guys. We cannot wait to look at... Yeah, I know. Booples Newt is putting his head over the thing. Okay, so we cannot wait for episode 10. It will be the last episode this season, and
probably for the next year and a half.
For the next little while. So, you know, whether we do some other things or Starpie comes back and leads them through another season of Picard, which I think we're getting.
No,
we're
not. No. Sweet. Picard's done. You might get Star Trek Legacy. That'd be awesome. But unless they've already started writing that ain't happening either.
Actually, probably not.
So no. What we're going to have is Artie
until,
Zadig.
Until they started filming it, even. It's
Which leads us to watching reruns of Artie's Attic with Warehouse 13.
Or Cheesy 80s Movie Review.
No,
Warehouse 13. Because you can't cancel a movie that was made 30 years ago.
You can't cancel Warehouse 13 either, any more than they've already done it. So. It's been gone for years, and I still love it.
I love people trying to cancel shows from forever ago or actors that died 30 years ago. And they're like, oh, John Wayne said this in the 1960s. It's like,
what?
It was
the 1960s. Like, right. A lot of people said a lot of crap.
We were talking about, was that this morning we were talking about cancel culture?
Yeah.
Look.
There's only one that they've really honestly succeeded in, and I really, and unfortunately, you have to agree with it. Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
You can't argue that one.
Well, they tried canceling my boy a couple weeks ago, and I'm not going to get into it because that will, you know, this ain't politics. But my boy. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think they got a lot of stuff that they got to do in this last episode. And I know Star Trek is capable of that. I know Strange New Worlds is capable of that. But damn. They're gonna have to come correct on this one. So I don't know what they're gonna do, but I look forward to it.
I think we've rambled enough.
You gotta go. I know.
Hope you guys enjoyed it.
I'm sorry, the rambling was my fault again. I have a tendency to instigate.
You instigated talk about all the girls, yes, and so now I have to go like find all of them on my shut up. I have to find them all on my computer. Actually, I have all of them actually on my phone. Except Stephanie.
So she's prepared.
Oh, yeah.
Honey, I'm always prepared. What do you got? A lawnmower? Well,
yeah,
I mean...
I'm just the Tibetan throat singing again. Ignore me!
You're horrible.
Well, you know, I've been told. It's not the first thing.
Dallas, Texas's the electrical system isn't always up to the challenge. Do you have the generator going?
Exactly.
So that's it for me, guys. I actually have to go do work.
All right. Well, bye. Guys, have a good one. We will see you next week.
Bye.
This has been an episode of the Strange New Worlds Fancast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us. If you'd like to hear more shows like this one, you can find us at strangenewworlds.podbean.com for more podcasts on Strange New Worlds. If you'd like to contact us, you can hit us up via email at strangenewworldsfancast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @Trek_worlds. We are a part of the Lone Wolf Podcast Network. And to hear more of this cast and other casts like it, you can check us out at lonewolfpodcasts.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.